And now we turn to Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell for a look at the week ahead in the Iowa legislature. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Sarah.
So last week, Senate Democrats passed campaign finance reform legislation in response to the landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling Citizens United. That, of course, is the one that opened the door for a lot more political ad spending, especially by super PACs. We heard a lot about that during the election year. How much latitude do state lawmakers have to restrict something that the Supreme Court has deemed acceptable?
Well, the court ruled that political ad spending is protected free speech, but that doesn't mean that states like Iowa can't mandate some disclosure of donors. And that's what Iowa did right after the Citizens United ruling. It passed a law mandating disclosure of donors who give more than $750.
And what's the state Senate trying to do now?
Well, they're trying to strengthen the law. It's become obvious that it wasn't doing quite what the backers had hoped it would do, and that showed up back in the 2010 election, the judicial retention election, which I'm sure you remember. Iowa conservative groups spent a lot of money from an outside organization in order to defeat the three Iowa Supreme Court justices. And in that case, they were able to keep the donors' names secret because of what the ethics board called a loophole in Iowa law. So the Senate has been trying to close that loophole ever since. This year's bill is the second attempt. An earlier effort died in the House under Republican control.
And staying in the Senate for a minute, the senators also approved a Medicaid expansion along party lines. That's something, of course, that Governor Branstad has opposed. So what's next?
Well, you're right. The Senate approved its bill to bring 150,000 more Iowans onto Medicaid. Republicans continue to oppose that. And we're told that the House is likely to see a bill this week with the governor's alternative for insuring more low-income Iowans.
We heard last week on Morning Edition that some states, including Arkansas, who have resisted Medicaid expansion, are now looking at expanding it by partnering with private insurance companies. Is that option on the table in Iowa?
Well, actually, Governor Branstad's plan also would partner with private insurance companies. Under his plan, the poorest Iowans would be enrolled in a variation of Medicaid with fewer benefits than the regular program, and then others would get their coverage through the new private health insurance exchanges that's part of the Federal Affordable Care Act. And if they qualify, they would get federal tax credits to subsidize the cost. And I should say, though, that both Governor Branstad's plan and the Arkansas plan have to get federal approval.
Another health care-related subject, Governor Branstad has reached a deal with union leaders to stop allowing state employees to voluntarily contribute part of their health insurance premiums. As you know, Joyce, he's been pushing for state employees to pay more, but just a few have chosen to do so voluntarily. Now, why, since this was voluntary, were labor leaders pressing the issue?
Well, because health insurance is supposed to be resolved in collective bargaining and not by an order of the governor. So the union filed a complaint about that. A governor's aide confirmed for me that, as you said, the union and the governor have reached an agreement. The union dropped their complaint, and the governor agreed not to continue to allow a handful of union members to voluntarily contribute to their health insurance. I should say that the governor also lost on this in the recent collective bargaining negotiations. He was not able to get that in the contract to have state workers pay some toward the cost of their health care.
The president of the Iowa Board of Regents, Craig Lang, has written a letter asking state senators to give him another term on the board. He has come under fire recently because of concerns primarily about academic freedom. Is this an unusual move to make a direct appeal like this? And any idea if it's going to be effective?
I don't see anything unusual about an embattled nominee making a personal appeal for reappointment. But the signs last week did not look good for his appointment or for the other nominee, Robert Kramer. Here's what Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl had to say about the nominations.
We had a caucus and discussed these today, and I will talk with the governor about the results of that caucus and let him decide what he wants to do based on the information I give him.
And he wouldn't directly say that they took a vote and the votes weren't there, but that seems to be the implication. A governor's aide told me that the governor will continue to work to get his nominees confirmed.
And now there's talk that Republicans might throw up roadblocks to a Democratic nominee in return for the trouble that the Regents' appointments are getting.
Well, there was speculation about that last week. The governor has nominated a former state senator, Tom Riley, who's a Democrat, to a seat on the State Transportation Commission. And the Republican minority leader, Bill Dix, delayed a vote on Riley last week, and that's what's provoking the speculation. The minority leader said Republicans want to know more about Riley, and yet when he was asked about it, he didn't exactly give a full-throated denial that this was a quid pro quo thing going on. You reject the Republicans to the Board of Regents, we'll reject a Democrat on the Transportation Commission.
And Joyce, we're into April now. There's just over a month to go before the legislature is scheduled to adjourn. What are the odds that lawmakers are going to stay on track?
Well, predicting adjournment is always a fool's errand, but I've been saying all along that coming to agreement on how to expand health care coverage for the poor is likely to delay adjournment.
Okay, well, we'll keep at it at least for a few more weeks.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Joyce.